come to God's Word. We will look to the Lord afresh. Let us bow together in the Lord's presence and seek His help. Our loving Father, we do thank Thee for the substitute, for the one who stood condemned in our place, sealed our pardon with the shedding of His own blood, so that we say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lord, we know that there is none like Thee. Thou art the mighty to save. Thou art the one whose precious blood was shed to redeem us. There is plenteous redemption through the blood of the Lamb. And we pray that this night, Lord, Thou wilt bless the going forth of Thy word to the stirring of our believing hearts. Lord, help us to remember Calvary, to remember that we are bought with a price, that we are not our own. Help us to glorify Thee on the earth, to be as a light set on an hill this week. And we pray that our light will shine amid the gross darkness of our days. And we ask, O God, that those in this service bowed in Thy presence, who are still strangers to grace and to God, who are without hope, who have neglected this so great salvation till now, we pray that deciding grace will be given to such, and this night they will decide for Christ. They will choose life and flee spiritual death. Hear our prayer. Breathe upon us by Thy Spirit and give enablement to glory in the cross. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, and the verse 21, we find the words, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Genesis 3 is a key chapter in God's word. I know that some maintain that it is not factual. It is merely fiction, they say. They say it is mythical. They maintain that Adam and Eve are not real characters, that the chapter is all a parable. There are those who try to explain away this key chapter in God's Word. Genesis chapter 3 is the account of the fall of man. Here we read of the rebellion of the heart against God. This chapter reveals how man became a transgressor, how he became a sinner in the eyes of the holy God. The consequences of sin in the chapter are clearly seen. Man could have been left like the fallen angels, reserved in everlasting chains unto the judgment of the great day. Mankind could have been left to perish in hell. God, in His matchless grace, has made a way to Himself, a way back from the dark paths of sin. And what wonderful pictures of salvation are found in the Old Testament. Here in this third chapter, we have a foreshadowing of the cross. We read these tremendous words in our text, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. What do we see in our text? We see Christ. We see what has been accomplished for us at the cross. Your sin has left you destitute, left you naked before the all-seeing eye. But there is a true covering for our sin. There's a robe of perfect righteousness. There are garments of salvation. They have all been provided for you in Jesus Christ. Notice in this text the plight of Adam and Eve. Adam, the first man, was made upright. He was created in the likeness of God, in his own image. The Shorter Catechism, question 13, raises this question. Did our first parents continue in the state wherein they were created? And the answer comes back, our first parents being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the state wherein they were created by sinning against God. Oh, how favored our first parents were. Favored to be placed in the Garden of Eden. In the original, Eden means the pleasant, the delightful place. It was a true paradise. Today, holiday brochures, they portray faraway places to us as the idyllic paradise, the place to be. But all earthly paradises today are blighted with sin. They are not perfect places as Eden was. It was a perfect environment, free from pain, disease, death, and sorrow. And there Adam and Eve enjoyed unbroken, uninterrupted communion, fellowship with the triune God. And the only condition stipulated was this in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. When the forbidden fruit was eaten, sin entered the world. Adam is the natural head. He is the representative of the whole human race. And we learn from Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12, by one man, speaking of Adam, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all sinners. We are all partakers of Adam's transgression. How did Adam and Eve react? They reacted the way people still do tonight. First of all, they tried to cover themselves. The devil promised Eve in verse 5 of chapter 3, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil said, Eve, your eyes will be opened. Yes, their eyes were opened, as we see in verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Their eyes were opened, men and women, to see their shame, their destitution, to see how they have fallen from their original righteousness. Both of them were, their eyes were opened to see the guilt of their sin. And immediately, verse 7, when they knew they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Immediately they set about covering their sin over. And we can picture them in our mind's eye, getting those fig leaves together. And being large, they reckoned that they would provide an adequate covering. Today we speak of people covering their tracks. And that was what was being attempted here. Adam and Eve have numerous imitators. It's a popular thing to attempt to cover one's sin by human devices. The fig leaves used today are those of morality, those of religion, of charitable deeds and acts. Oh, I wonder this evening, are you busily engaged in such things, attempting to cover your sin? Oh, listen to the word of God in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Listen carefully. The verse says, "He that covereth his sins," that's what Adam and Eve were attempting to do, "he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." It is a futile thing. It is doomed to fail, the attempt to cover your sin. Think of how, when the Lord was here on earth, that the fig tree was the only one that the Lord cursed. The Lord's displeasure fell on the fig tree. And God's anathema rests on your efforts at self-salvation. You cannot prosper in what you're doing. They tried to cover themselves, their sin. And that is something that you can never, ever do of your own volition. But secondly, we can see that they tried to conceal themselves. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here's our first parents, so accustomed to the divine presence, so familiar with communing with the Most High, enjoying unbroken fellowship with deity, and now as a consequence of their sin, they attempt to conceal themselves. How foolish of Adam and Eve to think that they can hide away from the presence of the all-seeing eye. How irrational is this? There is no way in which you can flee from the omniscience, the omnipresence of God. Hiding from God. There are those who will always attempt it. Revelation chapter 6 brings us to the last day. It brings before us the judgment day. And we read of those who try to hide themselves from the one with whom they have to do. Revelation chapter 6 and verses 15 and 16. We're reading here about the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Having rejected the only hiding place in the cleft rock of ages, they call on the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them, conceal them from God, with whom they have to do. Oh, you can flee to God for mercy, but you cannot flee from him. There is a hiding place, a true hiding place in the gospel. There's a true covering, true concealment for your sin. But it's only in Christ. Our first parents tried a third thing. They tried to clear themselves. God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" And Adam responded, and looked carefully at verse 12 of Genesis 3. The woman, he's speaking to God, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Adam tries to clear himself. He blames God for giving to him the woman. And he blames Eve for giving to him the fruit. As for Eve, in verse 13, the woman said to God, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Eve blamed the devil in her attempt to clear herself. Neither of them acknowledged, as David does in Psalm 51 and verse 4, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Our first parents tried to justify themselves, whereas Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 explains to us that there's not a just man on the earth. We're all unjust, unclean, unrighteous, undone, ungodly. Oh, you will know no pardon for your sin until you own it, confess it, turn away from it, looking alone to Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. The plight of Adam and Eve. But secondly, we see in this text the provision. We read in this verse 21 that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Why? Were those fig leaves not adequate? Evidently, Adam and Eve didn't think they were adequate. That's why they attempted to hide themselves. But think of how these coats of skins were obtained. Animals were taken. They were sacrificed. Their blood was shed. They were put to death. Here we are reading of the first sacrifice in the Bible. And it's all a portraying of Christ, who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The only way in which the shame and the guilt of our sin can be dealt with is through the substitutionary death of the Son of God. Hebrews 9 and the verse 22 sets it out for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. But we're glad to be able to say that on the cross, Christ's precious blood was shed for many. And now there is forgiveness. Remember that the word atonement, it means covering. And Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 explains that it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And so at the cross, men and women, we have the divine, the God-made, the perfect covering. It's Christ's own blood, and sheltered under the blood of the Lamb, there is that perfect concealment, cleansing from sin. On a bitterly cold winter's night, a mother was out in the wilds with her baby in her arms, and finding the elements too strong for her to continue her journey, and unable to find a shelter, the mother proceeded to take off her outer clothing, and she wrapped it round her child and laid him in a cleft of the rock. She rushed on, hoping to find help. But next morning, some shepherds, they heard the cry of the child. They found him safe and warm. A little further along, they discovered the lifeless form of the mother buried in the snow. She had stripped off her own garments and died, given her life to save her child. The Lord on Calvary's cross was lifted up to die. They stripped him of his raiment so that we might be clothed in the beautiful garment of his salvation. Oh, what a wonderful provision there is for you in Christ. Oh, have done with the thought of your own righteousness. Come with all your destitution and need to the one who is portrayed in our text, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And then lastly, we see the pointed message. If Adam and Eve needed a divine remedy, a sublime covering for their sin, so do I, and so do you. What folly it would be for you to reject the garment of salvation. In Luke chapter 8, we read of legion possessed by many devils, a legion of devils. And the verse 27 tells us that he wore no clothes. He was distracted, out of his senses, And what madness it is to say, I will not have the Savior. Away with Christ! But what a change came when Legion became a Christian. The verse 35 of Luke chapter 8 explains that he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The Lord will do the same for you. Paul speaks of putting on Christ. You put on your Sunday best to come to the meeting tonight. You put on your overcoat. Put on Christ. Be clothed with him. I think of the covering that the Lord provides. Adam and Eve, as they looked on in time, as they looked past the sacrifices made in their presence to the cross, they found a perfect covering for their sin. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. God has said in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 21, not to behold iniquity in Jacob, nor perverseness in Israel. Why? Because it's hidden away. It's under the blood. There is a perfect covering from the wrath to come. You can be saved from wrath through him. And think of the comeliness that Christ provides. The high priest's garments under the law were made for glory and beauty. And in Psalm 45, we read there, Of the king's daughter, a picture of the believer, Psalm 45 and verses 13 and 14. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. She has the choicest clothing. The king's daughter, the child of God, clothed with the comeliness of Christ, dressed in the white linen, the righteousness of saints. Think of when the prodigal returned to the father's house. What did the father say to him? Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Oh, come now to the Savior with all your need, and he will clothe you with the best robe, so that you will say in the words of Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, may you go away from this meeting tonight with the best robe on your back, covered with the Savior's righteousness, clothed with his salvation. Oh, may you not linger for another season, for the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Make haste to Christ. Flee to him, and you will find him faithful and just. to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We will join in singing the hymn 279. The hymn number 279, please.